Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home, text 24. Agnirni Shristo Datascha.
Agnirni Shristo Datascha.
Karo Darascha Dushita.
Karo Darascha Dushita.
Ritam Shetram Dhanam Yesham.
Ritam Shetram Dhanam Yesham.
Tadatar Ashubi Kriya.
Tadatar Ashubi Kriya.
Agni.
Agni.
Fire.
Fire.
Nishrista.
Nishrista.
Set.
Set.
Dataha.
Dataha.
Given.
Given.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Gara.
Gara.
Poison.
Poison.
Dara.
Dara. Dara.
Married wife.
Married wife.
Cha.
And.
Dushita.
Dushita.
Insulted.
Insulted.
Ritam.
Ritam.
Usurped.
Usurped.
Kshetram.
Kshetram.
Kingdom.
Kingdom.
Danam.
Danam.
Wealth.
Wealth.
Yesham.
Yesham.
Of those.
Of those.
Tat.
Tat.
There.
There.
Datai.
Datai.
Given by.
Given by.
Ashubi.
Ashubi.
Subsisting.
Subsisting.
Kiyat.
Kiyat.
Is unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Kijai.
There is no need to live a degraded life and subsist on the charity of those whom you try to kill by arson and poison. You also insulted one of their wives and usurped their kingdom and wealth. Purport. The system of Varnashram religion sets aside a part of one's life completely for the purpose of self-realization and attainment of salvation in the human form of life. This is a routine division of life for persons like Dhritarashtra, even at their weary, ripened age, want to stay home even in a degraded condition of accepting charity from enemies. Vidura wanted to point out this and impressed upon him that it was better to die like his sons than accepting such humiliating charity. 5,000 years ago there was one Dhritarashtra, but at the present moment there are Dhritarashtras in every home. Politicians especially do not retire from political activities unless they are dragged by the cruel hand of death or killed by some opposing element. To stick to family life to the end of one's human life is the grossest type of degradation, and there is an absolute need for the Vidurās to educate such Dhritarashtras even at the present moment. So the text again. Agnir nirashtra datascha karodarascha dushita ritam shetram dhanam yesham tadanar datar ashubi kriyat. There is no need to live a degraded life and subsist on the charity of those whom you tried to kill by arson and poison. You also insulted one of their wives and usurped their kingdom and wealth. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimadevi Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paska Dhyade Sadharana. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Yesham Antakatam Bhavam Sharanam Punya Karmanam Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukva Vajante Mam Dhruda Vrataha. And those who have passed their lives in performing pious activities, who in previous lives became free from sinful activities, who are free from the duality of delusion, can engage themselves in my service with determination. And the purpose is that those who are atheistic, those who are agnostic, those who are sinful and foolish, they never take to any process of actual religion. On the other hand, those who pass their lives in following the principles of religion, who've acted piously can tolerate, can get free from the dualities of delusion, rise up to the platform of accepting devotional service, gain positive knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then finally meditate upon Him in trance. Before, so religion begins, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ramananda Roy, or Ramananda Roy more or less told Lord Chaitanya, Vanashrama Acharyata Purushena Pumakpuman Vishnu Radite Panta Nanyamastiti Vadina. That religion, or vana and ashram, is meant to regulate the activities of the human being. Specifically, so that one can get one's necessities of life through the process of sacrifice, and at the same time regulate one's sense gratification, so that ultimately one can get free from sense gratification. Religion deals with how to properly deal with economic development and sense gratification, the two things that vana and ashram deals with. Varna is mostly about economic development, and ashram is about how to perform sense gratification. But the aim is liberation. The human being has come, or the living entity has come to the material world because he wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Vyayato Vishayam Pumsam. Our first thing is that we give up the meditation on Krishna, and in the absence of thinking about Krishna, we become dissatisfied. And we look for something to make us feel happy. When we give up our association with Krishna, we get covered by illusion. Therefore, we forget reality. And at the same time, we feel unsatisfied because we're not feeling the happiness that actually everyone lives for. No one is living for suffering. It's not that we wake up and we think, what kind of suffering will I enjoy today? Or what kind of activities will increase my suffering? Maybe I should cut off a couple of fingers and see how that feels. Maybe that will increase my suffering. And we're making so many plans to try to fulfill the basic lack of feeling happy, of satisfaction, as if without Krishna, somehow or another, there can be some circumstance outside of being Krishna conscious where we can actually feel fulfilled. Prabhupada gives the example of the baby. The baby's in the arms of the mother and it feels satisfied. But if it's in the arms of other ladies or men, then it keeps on crying until it comes back to its mother again. Without Krishna, one can actually feel fulfilled, because we want an ocean of happiness, and only Krishna and Krishna's eternal associates possess that ocean of happiness that we're looking for. And because we're covered by illusion, therefore we don't know that, and therefore we think something else will give us an ocean of happiness. So this is called prakatmika shakti and avaratmika shakti. One is the covering potency, avaratmika shakti, recovered by illusion. And therefore, we don't actually know why we're dissatisfied, because we're in ignorance. And therefore, we begin to look after different things for our happiness. So the material world begins with avidya, or ignorance, and then after that, the seed of unhappiness, bij, of sinful desire is there, and that produces papa, or sinful activities, which produce parabdha and aparabdha karma, which produce kuta, or the seed. So the first thing is sinful desire. When we feel dissatisfied and we're in ignorance, then we look around and we look at matter and think, well, maybe this will make me happy. And under the Vanashram Dharma system, more or less, we think, before I can actually enjoy the material world, first I need some economic development. So rather than compete against everyone else for that economic development with the idea of enjoying, one tries to regulate it so that unnecessarily we don't fight over Krishna's resources. The living entity forgets that it's Krishna's resources. He forgets that the resources are meant for Krishna's happiness. He forgets that Krishna, only by performing, utilizing the present resources for Krishna's happiness, can we become happy. And therefore, we're all covered by ignorance. And therefore, we start looking around for something other, for some other means to try to be happy and enjoy. And then we look at the material nature and we think, oh, this looks like a very good thing. Matter of fact, the material present society, they're simply decorating matter and claiming this will actually give you eternal, unlimited happiness. But first you have to get some economic development. Previously, there weren't so many things to buy, so economic development was rather simple. You throw a few seeds on the ground, get a few grains and a few vegetables, and milk a cow, and that was your economic development. And with that economic development, then your hopes for happiness by having a nice house, a nice home, a peaceful home, because even you're living in a palace, but if you're throwing things at your wife all day long, your wife is throwing things at your husband, it doesn't really seem like a palace, it seems like a jungle. Although people used to live in a little shack or a little hut made of mud, but if it was peaceful and the wife knew how to cook a few nice chapatis and a little sabzi and the grains that you grew, then you were like in heaven. You were peaceful, you had a little sense gratification, people respected you for what you were doing, you were appreciated. And therefore, you got the maximum amount of happiness you could expect out of one lifetime. And therefore, it was regulated. You had, whether you're a Shudra or a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Brahmin, you knew what more or less to expect out of life. And you were satisfied with it. And you knew that there was an ultimate higher goal. It was explained to you about somehow or another, some other goal than the one you were presently experiencing, which was actually a higher one in terms of consciousness. You weren't very intelligent, you might think, I may act as a faithful Shudra, and in the future I may become a Vaishya, or I may act as a faithful Vaishya, I may become a Brahmin, or I may even act as a faithful Kshatriya, go to the heavenly planets, or a Brahmin, become liberated. There was something to look forward to after this lifetime. Not something just temporarily. Of course, in present society, people are looking forward to something very vague in the name of religion. I can do whatever I want, and somehow or another I'll go to heaven, whatever heaven is. But it's certainly better than just sitting around getting fried forever in a place called hell. Whatever heaven is, it must be a better alternative than hell. And there are different explanations what you have to do to get that so-called salvation. Give a donation to the church, or only eat fish on Friday, or something. There's something that you're supposed to do. Mostly it's nowadays put a donation in the basket comes around. That's sufficient for salvation. All very vague, not really very clear what to do. More or less, one is encouraged, work, try to get some money, and if you're stealing, try not to get caught. And then spend it for whatever, you know, new invention comes up. You know, just spend your money as quickly as possible, and if necessary, then just go bankrupt and pray to whoever the powers that be that you can get another credit card in the future. Do your penance for some time, do your austerity, and when you become purified, then they'll give you another credit card. Therefore, there's very little regulation and very little sense and mind control. just somehow or another get money and spend it for something that's advertised is going to make you happy by gratifying your senses in some way. Although it always comes down to the same thing. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, punak punas charvata charvananam. But they dress it in different ways. It's the same thing, but just have it has a different dress, a different covering, and therefore we think it's going to be different. And we'll work hard. The carrot and the ass, the carrot and the donkey thinks I must work hard, and then ultimately if I pull this heavy, heavy load that's on my back, I'll be able to catch up with the carrot and enjoy it. Although he never catches up with the carrot. And then when he does, finally the washerman gives him the carrot, it's the same old carrot as yesterday. It was no special carrot. Varasham teaches one how to live peacefully in one's occupation so that one can get, according to one's desires, one's desire, one can fulfill one's desires with a gradual restriction of sense gratification. Ultimately, winding up as the Brahman who is supposed to be the most sense and mind controlled and therefore is able to put his consciousness without distraction upon Brahman and ultimately upon Krishna. And then for sense gratification, it is gradually also detachment. So detachment from how one gets his economic, what he considers his needs, and then detachment from sense gratification. As one goes from Shudra to Brahman, there's supposed to be detachment. As Brahmachari to Sannyas, there's supposed to be detachment and knowledge, detachment from material nature and awareness of Krishna. If one is not going through the process, one's human form of life is considered quite unsuccessful. Although when they advertise that if you get your gold medal at the Olympic, then you're successful in life. And if you can get your PhD degree, or you can get your Nobel Prize, or you can get your $1 billion in the bank, that you're successful. Never mind that your next life you're going to become a dog. Because nowadays, becoming a dog is not so bad. If you were to take birth as a dog in Europe or America, there may be some advantages. Well, say you take birth in a lower, even lower than a dog, is probably a pious birth for most. Compared to what most people will take after living their lives in Kali Yuga. In any case, the human form of life, especially in Kali Yuga, is dangerous because there are so many opportunities for contemplating the objects of the senses. Out of complete ignorance, out of karma, out of complete ignorance about transmigration, about the Supreme Lord, because people are completely under the influence of ignorance, they have no restraint. They have no conscience to stop them from looking at every object and seeing if they can eat it, if they can sleep on it, if they can have sex with it, or if they have to defend themselves against it. So it's one contemplation after another, and then when one finally zeroes in what one wants, after going shopping all day, one zeroes in, I need that, whatever it is, even if I have to break the window and get it. I'm going to get it. And one becomes attached to it. Usually people are afraid of breaking the window because they're afraid they won't be able to break the window. It's too hard to break. And if they broke the window, they might cut their arm trying to get what they want. There's too many. It has nothing to do with morality, generally speaking. It's just that they don't think they're going to get away with it without getting some harm to themselves. And they judge it, whether it's worth it to get that object or to go through the trouble to get it. So they say, all right, I'll be honest. I renounce it. Someone's walking down the street with a plate of puff rice that he's going to enjoy. The wind takes it away, and then he cries out, Govindabho.
Now he can't enjoy it, so he offers it to Krishna. So similarly, one is contemplating so many objects, finally one zeroes in, and if he can't get that object, then he gets another object. Of course, the modern society, mass production, they create objects that millions of people can get as if this is going to be really special. Like you can get your own iPod. If you can't get a big one, you get a little tiny one. I have an iPod. Of course, you can't eat it. You can't sleep on it. There's no question of romance with your iPod. And it, hopefully you don't have to defend yourself from it. So it's a very poor substitute for what we're actually hungry for. At least in the mature world, because happiness in the mature world means those four activities. And there's no question that unless we utilize it for liberation, listening to songs, the bhajans, or hearing about Krishna's pastimes or the philosophy, or watching Prabhupada movies or something, unless we utilize it for that, we're simply utilizing to excite ourselves more about eating, sleeping, mating, defending. When we can't eat, sleep, mate, defend it, we hear the glories of it. So that when we finally get a chance to eat, even if we're eating the most abominable things, but we're just so covered over, it tastes good to us because we're being trained up to become a hog in our next lifetime or a tiger. Therefore, the glorification that we're getting from these objects, what we're becoming inspired to do, is more or less become a lower living entity. And we perfectly render service to the instructions on the iPod by going to McDonald's or the movies or whatever else. And the result is we become more and more lusty, more and more degraded. At the time of life, we take a body corresponding to our consciousness we've developed. But Vanashram is meant to regulate the senses, give people what they're really looking for, mainly nice food, nice peaceful life, nice relationships with others, some feeling of security. So people are actually satisfied. They don't have to work harder and harder and harder for less and less and less. And just a few people are just tricking them because they have no brains in doing this. And they think they're making progress. That's Vanashram is real beginning of human life. Without it, it's simply a cat and dog society. Unfortunately, Dhritarashtra didn't accept that idea. He had this idea that, all right, my sons couldn't become God or the king, but at least managed to hold on and pretend that I'm king. But at the time of leaving his body, he would have not become a king in his next lifetime. He would have gotten a corresponding body and his whole life would have been wasted. Fortunately, he had a good friend or a good brother, Vidura, was able to instruct him about reality, and therefore because he was somehow or another part of the Vedic culture, he was able to accept it and therefore do what was necessary to detach himself from his material conceptions and try to make spiritual advancement, which meant for him to become detached from all these ideas about trying to become something special in the material world. His whole identification with being Dhritarashtra. Instead, he identified himself with something spiritual, and therefore at least he got liberation from his false conception of being Dhritarashtra. Exactly what happened to him, it's not further explained, but it was something more auspicious than it would have been if he had maintained his present course of activities. Similarly, we shouldn't be proud of our present material circumstances and think that in the future I can develop it more and more and that will make me happy. No, we should accept some service to Krishna and at the same time try to become conscious of Krishna. If we accept service to Krishna, that's very nice, but the aim of that service should be to become conscious of Krishna. To stop contemplating the objects of the senses stop becoming attached to different objects in this material world, stop lusting for them, trying to enjoy them, and therefore falling into frustration and anger and delusion and bewilderment and everything else that comes from that. Instead, we should accept our circumstances, tanehistita, because we're not in the varnashram system. We don't know what we are. We don't even know what this body is. We don't know if we're a Shudra or a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Brahmin. But if we don't know, we're probably a Shudra, because a Shudra doesn't know. But we have mixed, at least. We're trying to act as Brahmins. Therefore, we have some Brahminical qualifications we're developing. We're not trying to develop the Shudra qualification, actually Shudra qualification also, because the Shudra is submissive. Shudra, you ask him to do something, he doesn't give you 25 reasons or less or more why he can't do it. And so a Shudra has that good qualification. And a Vaishya has a good qualification. He has some responsibility, he feels, so does a Shudra, but he has some responsibility to limit his sense gratification and protect others, make sure that others are protected. At least the animals are protected. He sees other living entities as worthy of his service, not only his family, but other living entities also. And Kshatriyas include a greater realm of protection, greater realm of duty, and then finally the Brahmins know that the aim of life is liberation. So somehow or another, if we can just accept whatever position we're in, and then try to render some service to the deities, and especially to the Sankirtan movement, we give up the idea I'm going to gain something from this, other than to become Krishna conscious. If we're not consciously trying to become conscious of Krishna, that means we have something else in mind. We've come here to Lord of the material nation, we've been trying hard since time immemorial, rather unsuccessfully. If we think I've learned the secret, that is to render some service to Krishna, and he'll assist me in my endeavors to Lord of the material nature. Well, he will, maybe, but we won't become Krishna conscious as long as we don't give up that propensity. Simply, whatever situation we're under, take it as an opportunity to render some service to Krishna and let the results be for Krishna. Of course, Krishna wants results. It's not that let the results be for Krishna, so I can't care less what happens. Whether the deities have a garland made out of paper mache, or there's no preaching, there's no new devotees, or the temple goes broke, it makes no difference because I'm not attached to the results. No, we should be attached to the results for Krishna. Krishna wants something. It's not that Krishna's a dead stone. You know, the deities fall off the altar and Krishna thinks, what a wonderful pastime. I fell off the altar. It's all spontaneous. My devotees love me so much, they're not attached to anything. Whether I stay in the altar or fall off, or whether I break my arms, or whether I get fed or not, they're not at all attached to anything. They're completely detached. No, we should be detached from the material results, but we should be attached to trying to serve and please Krishna, according to what the authorities have authorized us to. But the conception of pleasing Krishna is coming down through the authorities, through the simple succession. Therefore, we should want to distribute a lot of books for Krishna, not for our name and fame. We should want to have nice deity worship. We should try to have nice Krishna-conscious families to raise children in Krishna consciousness for Krishna's happiness, for his pleasure. Not simply so that I can become comfortable, I can avoid problems, I can get liberation, I. Krishna has to be there also. Then I is automatically satisfied in a real way, because Krishna will be there. Our original mistake is we wanted something without Krishna, and as long as we keep on wanting anything without Krishna, including devotional service without Krishna, then we'll never be satisfied, even in devotional service. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes?
How can we be happy Krishna consciousness without forgetting our same condition?
Well, I think you should first forget your fallen condition, or at least do something so you're not fallen anymore. We want to become happy in Krishna consciousness. We have to stop our fallen condition. We have to become elevated. Then we can become happy. Our attachment to our fallen condition and not desiring to do something about it is a cause of our anxiety, because we don't know how to be happy. But if we elevate ourselves by following the principles, then we'll learn how to become happy, how to become especially free from hankering and lamentation. And then we'll automatically become prasanatma when we give up our hankering and lamentation. Then in that happy state, we can chant Hare Krishna and actually feel Krishna's presence, because we're not disturbed by our hankerings and lamentations. When we give up our idea that I'm going to look around the material world and try and find something in the situation to help me, either now or in the future, to become happy in the material world, then we can learn how to become happy in the spiritual platform of consciousness. So give up this hankering, give up this contemplation of the material world, give up the attachments to our future, or our lamentations about the past. Give up our attachment to our unbridled senses, which are demanding immediate service. You got to do this now. Just tell our senses to take, go somewhere else, bother someone else. If we can do that, then we can fix our mind upon Krishna and we can be happy at the same time. Yes.
Please tell us, how have you joined ISKCON and how have you met Srila Prabhupada?
Oh, that's a long time. How do I join ISKCON? The same thing, same way everyone joins ISKCON. Somehow or other, we get some mercy from Krishna, get some association with the devotees, take up the process, and therefore we gradually learn how to join ISKCON. And how do I meet Prabhupada? Well, I think this is the process of meeting Prabhupada. We can physically meet Prabhupada, we can get some association, which is very nice. But just like, as soon as we actually meet Prabhupada, then simultaneously we'll know Krishna also. So this is the process of getting to know Prabhupada. Same way everyone does. Follow Prabhupada's instructions, and then we get to meet him. Become like fire, and then you can enter into the fire. Otherwise, everyone has their story, but ultimately it's the same thing. How much we're actually, by some good fortune, or by some good association, or by some past activity, we get a chance to come in association with the devotees, like Narada Muni. Hear what they're saying, get a little bit from it, try to get inspired to practice a little bit, take a little prasadam, and then somehow or another Krishna will give us his mercy to some degree and inspire us to try harder in the future and follow the same process until finally we realize the happy result of the process. We get to meet Prabhupada and Krishna directly. Anything else? Yes.
Se spune că dacă îl mulțumim pe Krishna, mulțumim pe toată lumea. Dar pe demoni și pe atei, cum putem să mulțumim? Pentru că lor nu le place cum gândești, ceea ce vorbești și ceea ce faci. Deci cum?
She says that he said that when we please Krishna, then everybody will be pleased. But the demons and the atheists, they are very difficult to please because they don't like what how we think and how what we do.
We're not trying to please the demons and the atheists. We're trying to please Krishna. As far as everyone being pleased, we're not interested in pleasing everyone's false ego. We're interested in doing something beneficial for the soul. So the demons and the atheists externally may not like what we're doing, but we're doing something that's ultimately good for them. In our stage, the best thing we can do for them is just ignore them. So they don't get any more karmic results from entangling more souls in their offensive attitude. So we ignore them, and so we can become more purified, take shelter more of Krishna, and therefore we'll become more powerful. And then maybe one day even some of these atheists and demons we converted, we'll become powerful enough to make them into devotees. But we don't expect everyone to dance in the street in ecstasy because we offered a flower to Krishna. But what we're doing is pleasing Krishna to some extent, and therefore the atmosphere becomes a little bit more spiritualized, at least in our lives, and in the lives of those who are receptive. You turn onto a channel that's broadcasting something important, then at least you become connected, and then you can tell everyone else how to connect to the same channel. But if someone doesn't want to listen to you, then what can you do? They won't be benefited. So it was nice being here. Today we the Sukha Prabhu and myself, we're going to Serbia. Continue a tour of this area. So thank you for coming to the classes, hearing Prabhupada and Krishna's philosophy, and hope that somehow or another we all become inspired to take it seriously, apply it in our lives, and try to especially help the others become a little bit more Krishna conscious too, at least understand the value of becoming Krishna conscious. The whole world is quickly going the wrong direction. Hopefully we're at least slowly going in the right direction. So we can reverse someone's rapid descent towards the darkest regions of existence, and at least put them on a slow ascent to the highest regions of existence. We'll be doing great service to others, and also become a little bit more inspired ourselves. So thank you for your association. We look forward to seeing you again. Give my offenses. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada.
Shri Pralatananda Maharaj ki jai, Shri Lila Sukha Prabhu ki jai.